Falcon 9 may make history today. The U.S. Labor Department steps in to help displaced shuttle workers. And Eads prepares for its 10th birthday party. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, June 4th, 2010. History could be made sometime today after 11 a.m. Eastern, when a four-hour launch window opens for the first test flight of the SpaceX Falcon 9. The safety and reliability image of the commercial spaceflight industry and the political staging for coming Obama budget battles are all riding on the outcome of the launch. In a conference call Thursday morning, SpaceX CEO Elon Musk was philosophical about the odds of success. He notes that first launches of a new rocket are a roughly 50-50 proposition and points to the early history of the Atlas V program. Quote, "The first successful Atlas flight was on Flight 13, and the Atlas V is arguably now the most reliable vehicle in the U.S. fleet," unquote. Ken Bowersox, a former NASA astronaut who's now SpaceX's VP of Astronaut Safety and Mission Assurance, says advantages in the private sector include higher risk thresholds and the ability to regroup quickly. He pointed out that an actual launch to test the Falcon 9 second stage in actual space will cost less than what NASA would have spent to test it on the ground in a complete vacuum. Both men agree commercial spaceflight is the only way forward. Musk gives his own project a 75% chance of success and says unless we move these programs out of government, quote, "we'll never do anything interesting in space," unquote. Watch aero-news.net for updates. There's a second launch window available tomorrow if today's effort has to be scrubbed. With the end of NASA's shuttle program now in clear view, the U.S. Department of Labor is making plans for an employmental safety net. During a visit to Kennedy Space Center on Wednesday, Labor Secretary Hilda Solis announced a grant of $15 million to assist about 3,200 workers who will be affected. A pumped-up private spaceflight industry will presumably need some of those folks, but the Labor Department isn't betting they'll be able to stay within the industry. Solis commented, quote, "These hardworking Americans need and deserve our support, and I am pleased that this grant will allow them to upgrade their skills further and gain access to work opportunities in high-demand industries," unquote. The grant is being awarded to the Brevard Workforce Development Board, which will serve as the program operator. Eads will celebrate its 10th anniversary this summer. In July of 2000, the French Aerospatiale Matra, the German Daimler Chrysler Aerospace, and the Spanish CASA merged to become Eads, and the company says that in the decades since, it's become a global leader in the aeronautics, space, defense, and associated services sector. Since 2000, Eads says its revenues have risen by 75%, and in 2009 stood at 42.8 billion euros. Total R&D investments have exceeded 22 billion euros, and Eads has created more than 15,000 high-tech jobs in Europe. In September, a range of celebrations is being planned for 119,000 employees and their families at the company's more than 100 locations. Up next on ANN, Canada's regulators consider a PFD requirement for float planes. An emergency AD is issued for the Augusta AW119. And a UAV will strut its stuff at ILA Berlin next week. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 4th. I'm Paul Plack. A float plane accident last weekend in Canada, which claimed four lives, has renewed calls for a Canadian law requiring pilots of float planes to carry a personal flotation device for every occupant of their aircraft. The Canadian Transportation Safety Agency made the recommendation on Monday, and it's a repeat of earlier recommendations going back 16 years. Canadian TV reports that the push is based on government stats, which show two-thirds of fatalities in floatplane accidents are caused not by the impact, but by drowning. But one prominent industry member says PFDs may create more problems because they could make exiting an aircraft difficult if they inflate while you're still inside. Harbor Air Vice President Randy Wright says that while he's not convinced that the PFD rule is the right way to go, his company will follow whatever government rules are put in place. The FAA has issued an emergency airworthiness directive for Augusta AW119 Mark II helicopters following a report of a missing control rod bushing from a 90-degree tail rotor gearbox. The Model 119 helicopters are also covered. This missing bushing could result in abnormal vibration and damage to the tail rotor system, loss of yaw control, and subsequent loss of control of the helicopter. Augusta issued its own bulletin for the problem March 25th, which says that if inspection of the gearbox determines the bushing is not installed, the gearbox must be replaced, and if the bushing is there, it needs to be noted on the nameplate. Both FAA and EASA are handling the situation by making the Augusta Bulletin's procedure mandatory. Get more detail in the text version of this story, dated June 3rd, at aero-news.net. The European Business Aviation Association has launched a web-based survey on flight time limitations to help develop a tailored business aviation regulation for pilots in the European Union. Currently, pilots of business aircraft are covered by the same regs as airline pilots. The association insists that European business aircraft operators need tailored rules designed to cover their specific needs, ensuring safe operations while providing the flexibility needed to conduct their businesses. EBAA says it's already collected a large number of paper survey forms, but wants the survey to be based as broadly as possible, hence the extension to the Internet. Find more info and links in the text version of this story, dated June 3rd, at aero-news.net. Scheibel's Camcopter S-100 unmanned aerial system, an unmanned helicopter, will be used as part of a unique demonstration at the ILA Berlin Aviation Show next week. The craft will transmit video of show displays to viewing screens around the airport, giving attendees both a unique view of the show and a unique demonstration of the S-100's capabilities. The machine has already undergone testing with Germany's military. In August of last year, Boeing announced a deal with Scheibel Industries AG, which is based in Austria, to market the Camcopter S-100 to government, military, and civilian users in the U.S. Still ahead, unions take aim at Delta Airlines. The FAA buys identity protection for its employees. And Colonel Don Dunlop is still breaking barriers. You're listening to Aero News.
Welcome to Cirrus Design, maker of the world's best-selling personal aircraft, the sleek SR-22. Cirrus planes feature the latest technologies and are equipped with an exclusive, life-saving parachute system. It is our mission to make personal aviation safe, affordable, and convenient. At Cirrus, we offer a test drive like no one else in the business.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, June 4th. I'm Paul Platt. Less than half the workforce at Delta Airlines is unionized. The company says it hasn't had a strike by employees since 1947, has a great relationship with its workers, and accuses labor unions of trying to undermine the atmosphere with a Don't Trust the Management campaign. The triggers for increased organizing fervor by unions at Delta are the merger with Northwest, which was 95% unionized, and a recent ruling by the National Mediation Board that organizers must only get a majority of workers casting votes, not a majority of all workers, to win the right to represent them. Delta is challenging that in court. The Wall Street Journal reports both the company and the unions are accusing each other of attempting to intimidate employees as inevitable union elections draw near. Delta is stressing corporate culture to its workers. Unions say that culture began to deteriorate in 1990, when thousands were laid off during a cost-cutting drive, and was largely gone by the time the airline filed for bankruptcy in 2005, when employees suffered deep cuts in wages and benefits. No votes have been scheduled, and it's not clear how Delta's challenge will go, but the NMB's new rule takes effect this month, and unions have signaled they hope to get votes done this summer. In February last year, a breach in security exposed the names and personal information of 45,000 current and former FAA employees. Now, FAA has contracted with a company called Identity Force to provide all employees and former employees with identity theft protection services. Administrator Randy Babbitt notes, quote, "The FAA is the first government agency, to my knowledge, to offer this service to all its employees because we feel it is the right thing to do," unquote. The company says its identity protection program includes training in an ongoing effort to eliminate the threat of database breaches. And finally today, U.S. Air Force Colonel Dawn Dunlop is still breaking barriers. In her 22-year career with the Air Force, she became the first woman to fly the F-22 Raptor in 2003. Effective today, she becomes the first female test pilot to command an Air Force wing, leading the 412th Test Wing at Edwards Air Force Base in California. Dunlop graduated from the Academy in 1988 and flew the T-38 Talon as an instructor pilot. She was among the first women to fly fighters for the Air Force when the ban was lifted in 1993. She flew operational F-15E Strike Eagles for 2.5 years and was accepted in the Air Force Test Pilot School at Edwards in 1997. She was flying test missions in an F-15 by the following year. The Air Force Times reports she'll assume command today from Brigadier General William Thornton, who's moving to Materiel Command Headquarters at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base in Ohio. Congratulations, Colonel Dunlop, from all of us here at ANN. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll hear the conclusion of Jim Campbell's interview with Audrey Kohler, manager of Team America Rocketry Challenge, on the eve of this year's national finals outside Washington, D.C. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.